Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue. It is Wake Up Call. By the way, Philip on Twitter. On this, the most holy day, we wish everyone a merry Kickmas. Nice job, Philip.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done.
I don't think we can top that.
I don't think we can top that. All right, what is the good of the day on this Throwback Thursday?
I will do my best to bring in all the good. I mean, the good of the day really for us is the NFL season kicks off tonight.
Starting tonight. Mahomes and Goff Part 2.
But keeping up with football, I came across something that I thought was really good, and that is Real Madrid's stadium renovations.
Okay.
Real Madrid, just real briefly, is a soccer team over in Spain. In La Liga, one of the top clubs in all of Europe. They have a stadium called Santiago Bernabeu, and it's 75 years old. But they took out a loan. The owners themselves took out a loan and completely renovated the existing stadium. And Tony, it's going to set the bar for stadium renovations.
How much does it cost?
I don't know how much it costs, but it's the big feature that really blows my mind. It has a. And to watch this is amazing. We have, I always think back to the Arizona Cardinals where they have the field that kind of retracts or removes outside.
Yes.
Right? They have the same thing where the field, the pitch, the turf, whatever you want to call it, it's in sections, it's in strips, and goes underneath the stadium itself.
So what?
Where it is treated to... ultraviolet lights, air conditioning, water systems, and it's treated indoors, and it is pristine looking.
Okay.
And then it is raised back up. When I say strips, it's the length of the entire field goes down. Like, there's like five sections.
Is there any worry about the seams?
I don't know yet. I would have thought so as well, but it just, not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the same thing.
Because it sounds like when you're breaking something up like that, it's not a continuous field like you would have if you had a regular field. You have it in pieces.
Right.
It's like the parquet at the Boston Garden. That was not one sheet of parquet
wood.
Yeah,
it was like many, many pieces.
It was squares that were screwed in, and there were dead spots, and there was gaps and whatnot. Is there worried that there might even the slightest bit of seam between the sections?
If it is, then I don't think it would really be any more different than a.
I think there's a way you can probably squeeze it together enough.
When you lay down sod, like when a team, we had a rough weekend, so we're laying down sod real quick and the sod's coming up.
Well, in that case, what happens is the grass just takes over and blends together. When you lay down sod in patches, eventually comes together. If you keep breaking it apart and lowering it and bringing it back up, that seam, what happens to that? But there's probably a way they can really squeeze it together so that the seam doesn't exist.
Yeah, and that's what it looks like. It doesn't exist. And what this is doing is it allows that stadium to be used for all sorts of other venues.
That's great.
And they're estimating that it'll bring in an additional $75 billion through its time.
Nice. Very good.
Whether it's concerts, whether it's trade shows. I mean,
now,
whatever.
Is this a taxpayer-funded thing like it is in America?
No, because the owners...
I know you where you were going. No, the owners are rich. Yes, so are ours.
Yeah, no, but
they,
I think...
Stealing money from the taxpayers to build stadiums.
Where I was going with, I think the owners took out the loans themselves and are funding this.
Good. Maybe in Spain they don't even allow that kind of thing.
Maybe I think that's I think that should be
maybe
universal.
They do. I don't know.
It's your stadium. You treat it as
you want it.
It's
your
house.
Yours. Yeah. So.
But no, it's the technology is just
it is great. It is awesome.
It's mind-blowing.
This
is done because a lot of stadiums, like I was saying, a lot of stadiums have this. Like the Arizona Cardinals bring out the entire thing, one flat piece, all the way out. This brings it down to sections. It's underneath the stadium, and it's all ultraviolet UV lighting. I mean, it's probably the same way a lot of people grow cannabis inside their house. The technology is used here indoors.
Didn't the last Super Bowl that was in. Just the last one we played in Phoenix, and didn't they criticize the field?
Yeah,
it's too bad. Because you're right, that technology is cool.
Because it was warmer.
They used a different grass.
It was
seed.
Yeah, they brought in a different grass. That's what it was.
Yeah. They had a different grass seed just for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They were going to use they had like a year and a half to cultivate it and make it, you know, strong and whatnot, and it didn't quite work out as well as they liked. Remember, people getting, it was kind of chunky a little bit. But that's great. All right, what's the bad of the day?
I got two.
Okay.
Sorry, I hate
might
to
have to
do
carry
this.
One over, but we'll see.
Oh, we're definitely going to have to carry one over because I think the second one is a larger one. But the first one is always up our alley. It's AI related.
Oh, this is scary.
Yeah. So an AI generated song has been submitted to the Grammys and has been deemed eligible for a Grammy because it was written by a human.
Okay, so the song was written by a human, AI performed it.
Yes, and the AI is it's an AI-generated voice of Drake and The Weeknd. I have it. So
okay,
this,
yeah, can we play a little bit of it?
Here's a little bit of it, yeah. This is Drake. This is not Drake and The Weeknd.
Okay, they're just... All right, explain what I'm hearing. I'm hearing the AI took their...
This is an AI-generated voice.
Okay, so the voice processed Drake's and The Weeknd's voice.
Right,
and
you haven't heard The Weeknd yet. I believe this is...
Right, but you've heard... But this isn't Drake singing. This is the computer simulating Drake singing this song. Okay, that's not... That's really creepy.
And this is The Weeknd. And so this song is eligible to be nominated for a Grammy because it was written by a human.
We've said this about AI forever. If they said, well, if you build this AI machine, it will devour all the food and we will all starve to death. Scientists will go, yeah, there's nothing I can do. I have to create it.
Yeah.
I have to. And like, no, you don't. But they go, we have to. This is just, we can't help ourselves. We're just going to do it. This is why they're striking. Most of it, they're worried about AI writers and TV and movies. It's happening. You're not going back.
And I listened to that song. It was like, I listened to it once. It was like, okay, you know, there's got to be, you know, it's going to be like Siri, right?
Right.
You know, or Alexa. There's going to be something in there that makes it sound a little bit more robotic. And it's not.
Wow.
I mean, this is that's not human singing.
I don't know what to make of this. I really don't.
I guess there's two stories here, right? One is, you know, what AI is capable of doing. But the other one, too, is like, you know, okay, should this be allowed in the Grammys?
Well, you know what my thing is? This is one of those situations where I just think that you can fight it and you can fight it, but it's just going to be an inevitable way it's going to go down. And so you can say AI-generated songs are not going to win Grammys. And then after a couple, people are just going to go, yeah, but it should. And then next thing you know, it's doing all of that. You know, I don't know. It's kind of scary. It really is, because that means that we could hear leaders in the country say things they didn't say, right? It means that people whose voice impacts the most could be caught on tape saying something they didn't, right? If I had a political opponent that I really didn't like, could I create a secret tape voiced guy saying horrible things about people?
Mm-hmm.
Could I do that? And then it would be up to him or her to go, that's not me.
And I'm surprised that has not happened yet.
Right. That's the implications of it.
Maybe it doesn't happen in this presidential election coming up, but I think by, 2028?
Yeah.
That's going to be commonplace.
And we need as a society to not, and this is a big ask, we have to learn not to believe every single thing. We have to take everything with a grain of salt.
Forget about it.
We're way past that.
Yeah.
We're way past that.
People will say anything on social media and develop a following within seconds.
Absolutely. And so that's where I find this really, really dangerous is in world matters. Like, I get it. All right. So Drake's voiced AI song wins a Grammy. But that's not the point. The point is the larger implications of it is the more accepted this is, the more people are going to go, yep, I don't like the guy I'm running against, so I'm going to have him saying all sorts of horrible racist stuff, and then I'm just going to release it and like, look what we caught him on tape saying. And he goes, I didn't say it. And they're like, prove you didn't say it. That's AI generated. Prove it's AI generated. And next thing you know, we're sliding back into this horrible thing. I'm going to get off my soapbox for a second and go back to it. That was a catchy song.
And that's what's scary,
right?
That's the scary part of
it
too.
It was a catchy song, so.
Yeah, but it's not, I mean, it's the only human thing about it was that it was written by one.
That's right. All right, we'll get the second bad. We will get the dumb. We're continuing along. Happy football day, everybody. Kansas City and Detroit tonight at Arrowhead. Raise the banner and play football. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hi, little Debbie Harry on a 1979 Throwback
Why
Thursday.
Not?
Why not? Little Blondie on a day ESPN went on the air in 1979. That's our Throwback Thursday today. Different variety of music. Blondie. But is she part of the good, the bad, and the dumb? I don't think so. But let's get the second bad before we get to the dumb.
I think she's always part of the good.
The good. Yeah,
I don't know if there's anything ever bad or dumb about Blondie. But the second bad of the day, it's, I guess in a way, we're paying homage to maybe a John Elway or Eli Manning. I just think it's a little too soon to be making this kind of a statement. But Caleb Williams' dad has already said that his son may return back to school if the team picking number one overall isn't to their liking.
So I'm sorry to say it like this, but I'm going to be more bold.
Yeah.
What he is saying is if Arizona is the number one team, my son is not playing for the Cardinals. That's what he's saying. That is what he's saying. Take that for what it is. That's what he means.
Yeah. I just don't know if this is, I mean, first of all, you don't know if he's going to be number one.
Well, that's the other problem, right?
I mean, I know the way it's been going the last couple of seasons, that it's always a quarterback going first.
But he may not be the quarterback.
But he may not be the quarterback. Remember, it was this time, a few years ago, we all pegged Tua Tagovailoa not only to be number one overall, but to be the Heisman Trophy winner.
Right.
And just like give him the Heisman now. And then this little upstart kid named Joe Burrow came along and stole everything from him.
Yeah.
And that's why I sit here and I look, I'm like, okay, that's a bold statement to say, but is Caleb Williams really the number one quarterback in the country?
Are we going to stop saying give him the Heisman now?
Yeah, I think so.
Given that the Heisman seems to always be awarded by somebody, a late comer that comes along and plays way better than we anticipated.
Who was the last favorite? Who went wire to wire?
I'll have to look.
Is that Tebow?
In 2010, no. No, 2008, no. I don't think it was Tebow. I don't think Tebow was wire to wire because remember he would have had to have been the first sophomore to win it. And there was a lot of people believed that you do not give it to a sophomore, so he was still fighting that. But I'd have to go through and sort of like who was the preseason favorite to win the Heisman that actually won the Heisman?
Yeah,
right.
But the betting favorite.
Yeah. So if you are a media member that writes the give him the Heisman now column, stop like after week one or two, because it always is somebody that's like, hey, you know what? He's really playing well. That's really good. So, I think that's what he's basically implying.
Already pointing a finger at
he's already team. Pointing a finger. He's leaving it open because Arizona might actually not be the number one team. Maybe they win a few games with Josh Dobbs. I'm holding out for the former Tennessee Vol, but it's very likely that they'll be in the running for it.
Does Caleb play baseball?
Yeah, is he doing that? Does he do that?
Can he do the full John Elway? I'm going to go play baseball instead.
But it's funny now because you can go back to school. You can declare, and then you can just go, go back.
Yeah, change my mind.
Like it used to not be able to do
that.
No, I remember,
Once you declared, once you hired an agent, you were done.
That was it. You were finished. So
you're in or nothing.
Yeah. So you have to you have to sell as much as you can now, because if anybody has eligibility, they may go, I'll go back.
Yeah.
I'm making a lot of money.
I've never been a fan of this. I mean, you know, I suffered from it personally when Eli said, I don't want to play for San Diego.
Yeah, sure.
Well, you know, forget you guys. Yeah. And, you know, they had to make a trade for it.
It is a very weird thing. I mean, it's one of those it's one of those processes we just accept, and I don't think many people really think about what exactly happens to an NFL or an NBA or NHL player. Like, you are told where you're going to go, and that's it. If you want to be in this industry, yeah, this is what it is. You don't get to choose where you live. Like if you're an engineering student and you graduate and you want to be an engineer, and there's a whole bunch of companies and they bid for you, and you can go, do I want to live here? Do I want to live here? Do I want to live here? Do I want this salary? Do I want that salary? Do I want this job? Do I want this company? If you want to play NFL football, then you get told where you're going to go and who you're going to play for. You don't pick them. They pick you. And it's a very weird way we do it, but it's the only fair way to do it. I mean, can you imagine if we had NFL level recruiting like we do in the college level? Forget it. It'd be a disaster. It would be an absolute disaster.
That would be fun, though.
You know what I mean? If, you know, college kids were like, well, I sat down with, you know, the Patriots and I like them, and I also sat down with the Dolphins and I like them, and the Cowboys, I like them. I'll, you know. Now, if you're an unrestricted free agent, that's fine. You can do that.
Right.
But the caveat is you're an undrafted free agent. Like, yeah, you're undrafted. Well, I mean, like, I didn't mean unrestricted. I meant undrafted.
Yeah,
and then you went through 7 rounds of the draft and nobody wanted you.
But it's almost better to be an undrafted.
It is.
Player, just because then you get your pick.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone comes at you and goes, hey, you know, that, you know, they're laying out the red carpet for you. And you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to go to you.
If you're good enough to warrant attention and you went undrafted, yeah, you were in a position. But of course, you have to warrant the attention after you were undrafted after 7 rounds.
But for Caleb Williams, I just think it's too bold of a statement. You've only played one game this year. You know, and I think it's just too bold of a statement. I know that he is the favorite right now?
To win the Heisman?
I think he is, right?
Yes, he is.
He's the betting favorite. You know, but it's a long season. What if what if you get hurt? Then you're going to be begging just to be in the top 10.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I'd like to know the context of, did his father just say that, or did somebody ask him about it? Like, did somebody say, are you committing your son to the NFL draft? Is he committing to leaving college football? And then his father was like, well, if we don't like the circumstances, we'll think about coming back. But yeah, he's probably leaning towards the pro if the circumstances were right. But we do want to keep the options on the table. But if he just volunteered that, then I'm going to say it. He is pointing to one particular team and saying, there's a lot of dysfunction there, and I don't want my son to get lost. You've drafted 2 quarterbacks in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And in the first round, and you're ready to go on your third? That doesn't sound like a stable environment. And by the way, if Kyler Murray is no longer the Arizona Cardinals quarterback for whatever reason, where's he going to land? Is he going to be like Josh Rosen? Is he just going to bounce around here or there?
I mean,
and do
if I can make a prediction, if things don't go well in Denver, maybe he'll go there and get a full contract.
Maybe so, right? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean,
no,
think about Josh Rosen for a second. Like, Josh Rosen, not that long ago, was the 10th pick in the draft. He was number 10.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, again, talent and ability has everything to do with it, right? If you show up in the NFL and you bust, that's on you, right? If you're given the opportunity. But he was given one rookie season, a new regime came in, they said, you're not the guy we chose, we have an opportunity to get this guy. But you would think that if he's the 10th pick in the draft, that he had enough talent and enough ability to be a franchise quarterback somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't work out.
And I mean, that's the problem. And I can see the same thing happening here. You know, Kyler Murray may be on his way out. And then he just signed the big deal, right?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah.
And so if you draft Caleb Williams and he's your guy and you get rid of Kyler Murray, what he's probably thinking, I don't want my son to be in an organization that's not stable enough to give him everything he needs to develop as a quarterback. Because it is probably the most unfair thing in sports to have a rookie quarterback and go, light the world on fire, kid. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that in 1 year. Because if you're a high pick in the draft, you are on a lousy team.
Now, I wonder if he even knew about this, too. Or is his dad speaking You know, maybe, you know, is it something that they discussed over Labor Day weekend at a backyard barbecue or whatever? Or is this something where dad's just like, I'm just going to come out and LeVar Ball this thing?
We talked about this with LeVar Ball. How hard is it for kids, even when they become adults, to tell their parents to shut up?
Right.
Like, Dad, I love you, but keep your mouth shut about my career and my career options.
Well, I mean, I think this has gotten lost. You know, I'm surprised. I knew this was going to take up a segment, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised that this has gotten lost in the whole translation. That just being drafted by an NFL team, you know, just the honor, it doesn't matter where it is, the fact that that's going to be your career. That is, you know, if you are the number one overall pick and you got drafted by the Cardinals, and, you know, yeah, it may be not the best of situations, but looking past the football, you've hit the lottery.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
I mean, you made it. Especially if you're the number one overall pick, you're not signing for anything other than, you know, tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah. No, you're getting some very comfortable life money. Right. There's no kidding. But I'm going to be interested to see where this story goes. This will be one of those little notes in the back of my head as we analyze the players of college football this season and who's not performing well on the field in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, is Caleb Williams, does he need to win the Heisman again?
To be the number one overall pick? Well, it's not judged by that. It's like you have size, strength. But, you know, there's the other intangibles.
But what I'm coming in with is that, you know, if there's a last minute person to come in and
Well, Drake May is the other guy people are like as a pro prospect.
And you know what? Hey, and he already won it. Are they ready to give back to back Heisman's again?
That's a good question. Love the dumb next.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
I know you couldn't resist. You got to throw a little disco into 1979.
I couldn't. Yeah, I still say no to the Bee Gees.
Part of the history of the musical era of the time.
But, you know, I said no Donna Summers, and then I bring her back.
When was, of course, Donna Summers was great. Queen of disco. When was Disco Sucks at that White Sox game? Was that like 80? Was that in the 70s?
I think it was 70s.
I think it was in the 70s. I think it was. I think it was when
disco was at its height.
Yeah, I think it was. There was a lot of backlash. That was a mess. You ever seen the Disco Demolition Night? Was on July 12th, 1979. Yeah, that was great. What a disaster that was. 1979, ESPN's birthday today. We're celebrating the arrival of the Entertainment and Sports Programming Network on our Throwback Thursday. But we've been continuing with the good, the bad, and the dumb on football's opening night.
Yeah.
So let's get the dumb of the day.
The dumb of the day. You know what? I think it's appropriate. That's why I'm leaving this song running right now.
Okay.
Because this song, I think, is almost appropriate for what the dumb of the day is. And it's not so dumb. I think it's kind of cool. But how did it get here? I have no idea. So the Minnesota State Fair has perhaps one of the strangest traditions for all the state fairs.
Okay.
And this has been going on for nearly two decades. Right? So there's a sky glider ride, which I believe is like a sky ride. You know, one of those, like, you sit in a little thing and it just kind of cruises over the top of the state fair.
Yeah, sure.
And for years now, people have been dropping things on the roof of the Kemp's Little Farm Hands building, which is a place where kids and children of all ages can go and learn how to, you know, the life of a farmer. But it's inside, and, you know, there's a steel tin roof. And people have been dropping items on there, such as stuffed animals, sunglasses, paper fans. Unwanted corn cobs get thrown on top of this. One year, someone even threw a prosthetic leg on top of this roof.
Wow. Why?
I don't know. But lately, it's been nothing but bras and panties.
Okay, okay. Not on the kids' petting zoo farm. Let's relax a little bit, everybody. I get it.
That's why, you know, I started singing. Donna Summer's got to sing it. This is hot stuff, baby.
Yeah. All right. Not on the kids' petting zoo farm. Panties
of all shapes and sizes.
Don't need that.
G-strings to thongs to grandma panties.
Everybody
to granny
chill.
Panties.
Everybody stop.
And then they said, you know, the writer commented like, we have bras for all shapes, from an A to a very impressive double J.
Oh, wow. Very nice. Wow. Well, again, so if now, it's a tradition and people are doing it,
now
right,
I
whatever.
Now I want to go.
Now you want to go.
I want to go. I want to sit in the sky. All I'm going to do is like, where's Ron? He's up in the sky riding
nice.
Again.
Nice. Just would you say Michigan State Fair?
Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota State Fair. Okay.
Yes.
Minnesota State Fair.
Minnesota State Fair.
All right,
Fair.
Very good. All right. Good. Do they have like a deep fried bologna or whatever it
God.
Is? Whatever the other, they gotta other have people it. Are putting together?
They got to have everything. In fact, I mean, you know what? I mean, that's deep fried. Is there anything else that can be served at a state fair that's not deep fried?
I don't think. Like, I think everything.
Should,
I think try to deep fry
allowed,
everything.
Right?
Yeah, you should be everything. You just take anything that can be wrapped in dough or wrapped in batter. You should be able to fry it.
Yeah.
Fry it up. So.
See, I'm looking it up. Some of the new foods. Oh my God. This sounds incredible. How about this one? How about a bacon wrapped waffle dog?
Not bad. That's actually that sounds pretty good.
I mean, there's they always have weird things that. You know, I would not want to try.
Like, yeah, you ever watch Carnival Eats?
Like, I don't really want to do a basil hummus with spicy walnut topping.
No, I don't want
to. That's not state fair food.
No. You got to feel like you have a heart attack.
Yeah.
When eating state fair food.
Like, you need to have this bucket of birthday cake mini donuts.
That's right. That's right.
Cheesecake curds. There you go. That's blending cheesecake with funnel cake batter.
All right.
I can
not
do
bad.
That.
Not bad. I haven't been to a fair in a long time.
I know. We haven't. We went. We used to go to the Houston Rodeo, but we haven't. We didn't last year. I do want to take in the Texas State Fair.
I do too. It's one of my
people
things
were
like to do.
People just recently were posting photos because you know that Big Tex, the Big Tex legs were making it down the freeway.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Because Big Tex legs are like 8 feet long, or something,
yeah.
Or probably bigger than that.
So. But no, I haven't been to a fair in a long time. There's a fair going on in our town, and I just don't. I don't go. I don't like the rides. I don't like the thing. But the food is kind of fun.
That's what you. I mean, yeah, that's what you do there, right? You
but just I'm go not going on a food? Rinkety dink tilt-a-whirl or stuff like
no,
that.
No, never. The only rides that I ever do with my kids will always ask me like, "Hey, can you do this? Can you do this?" And I'll say, "The only ride I'm going to do, I'll walk through that fun house with you."
Yeah, that's about it. I'm not going on anymore.
You know,
fair rides.
The roller coasters there. I just, you know, I mean, it's two things, right? We talk about this all the time. It's two things. It's some guy who just built it yesterday.
Yeah, put it together with
and then it's the
socket wrench.
And then it's the guy who's operating it, who does not care about anything. All he cares about is like, all right, when's quitting time so I can go, you know, start the party.
Yeah, so enjoy your fairs, everybody, this fall.
Yes, and if you're in the Minnesota State Fair, if you're heading that way, panties and bras optionals, right?
I guess, yeah, exactly. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Kansas City, Detroit tonight to kick off the NFL season. So there's two problems with Kansas City tonight. One, Travis Kelce may not play, and Chris Jones is not signed. So defensively, they don't have their guy that can get to the quarterback, and they don't have the tight end that Patrick Mahomes likes to use occasionally. Now, I will say Patrick Mahomes has elevated himself to a position where it's okay if Travis Kelce is questionable for tonight's game. He'll just make the other receivers great. Okay? He's done that before. The last time Travis Kelce did not appear in a game was 2021, all right, when the Chiefs played the Steelers. And he was it was a COVID-19 situation, and he did not play in that game, and they just demolished Pittsburgh, and they utilized everybody around. They just utilized everybody they had to make up for the absence of Travis Kelce. If we know that Andy Reid is smart enough to do that, right? He knows that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are both smart enough to do this. Defensively, though, the lack of Chris Jones on the defensive side is going to be problematic. My question isn't about Kansas City, though. My question is about Detroit. I said this at the top of the hour. I think for me, it is Detroit's answer to anybody that thought, why are they playing in this game? Now, if you paid attention last year, you know that last year they were one of the more exciting teams to close out the second half of the season. They started 1-6. They ended up 9-8. Not only did they end up 9-8, but they ended up in a shot to go to the playoffs. It didn't work out for them. They still went out and beat Green Bay at Lambeau Field on that Sunday night. But in the schedule that includes Jacksonville on their schedule, it could have been a rematch of the playoffs with Trevor Lawrence. You have the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, but even though you want to move the Jets to put the Jets on Monday Night Football against Buffalo for 9/11, get that. You could have put Miami there instead of sending them to Germany, send another team to Germany. You could have played Philadelphia in a Super Bowl rematch, highly unlikely. As I was bringing this up before, there were a lot of games on the Bills' schedule that they could have opened up with. The NFL did this on purpose. It was not randomly generated. That's too big of a game to just throw at your schedule makers and go, who are the Chiefs' opponents in 2022? Who are their home opponents in 2022? Just randomly take a bunch of them, right? Yeah, you picked Detroit. Why did you pick Detroit? Because they are young and exciting. And this is also, in a very small way, not a huge way, this is a small way, a reason why Hard Knocks can be important to teams. I think there were a lot of people who watched those episodes a year ago and said, you know what? That Lions team looks like they could be a good, fun football team. You really got to know the coaches, you know, Aaron Glenn, there was Deuce Staley? One of the assistant coaches, the guys that were on the Lions staff that went at each other. They would go at each other in camp. The things that you got to see at camp, who would be paying attention to the Lions training camp unless you were just a Lions fan? But now Hard Knocks opens the door to you finding a team, knowing a little bit more about them, actually seeing their success. So this is the byproduct of that.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Because most of the time when they cover a team, the team ends up not doing that well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and that's why they were there in the first place.
And they went 1-6, and you're like, aha! Exactly.
Like when the Browns did it that year.
Yeah.
You know, when the Browns, you know, we laughed at the Browns because, you know, I like the offensive line coach who, you know, he was just an authentic character. But like with the Lions last year, it was like, yeah, okay, we got a deep insight on an up and coming team, and they fulfilled. So I think that's why. I mean, right now, I think all eyes are on Detroit this year.
Yeah, exactly. Philip on Twitter, I would die on the hill that the Miami Kansas City game should have been an Arrowhead because of the Tyreek return. That would have been just common sense in the NFL. I agree. I think that a game like that, I get you want to give, when you want to have a game in London or you want to have a game in Germany, you want to give them a little bit. Right. I think they gave them a ton. They gave them the biggest piece of the cake. Miami, Kansas City, that's a game that should have been here. You know, instead of, like, you could have given them the Chiefs and somebody else and still given them a star in Patrick Mahomes like you did when you sent Tom Brady in Seattle over there. But I think that's too big of a slice of the NFL cake to be sending over to Germany.